Farah Khan, thank you for joining me today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Ms. Khan, you have heard about this report, an emergency response biomonitoring plan for accidental spills, which was prepared for the government last year, and we've just sort of found out about it now. What's your initial response to this?
Well, there are a couple of things that stand out. One is that it's evident that we know very little about how oil spills will impact the long-term health of the Arctic ecosystem. And another thing is that the authors of this report are clearly admitting the level of risk to human health, to the environment, and to marine life when it comes to oil spills in the Arctic environment.
Well, we know that oil and marine life don't mix well at all. What's different? I mean, we had the BP spill in the Gulf of Mexico, a huge, huge spill. We had Exxon Valdez, that ship in Alaska. What's different about, you say we don't know how oil affects the Arctic environment. How would the Arctic environment be different than, say, the Gulf of Mexico environment?
So the Gulf of Mexico oil spill was a huge tragedy for many reasons and impossible to clean up, even in a temperate climate. But when you're talking about drilling for oil in the Arctic, you're dealing with unpredictable ice flows that could impact an oil rig, for example. You're also dealing with inclement weather and perpetual darkness for the winter months. The drilling window for Arctic oil companies is quite narrow, just a few months over the summer, maybe July to September, when they have sunlight. But if, let's say, an oil spill were to occur later in their drilling season, they wouldn't be able to send out a response team probably for another full year. So you're dealing with an oil spill that probably won't even be able to be attended to for a full year.
What about the way that oil would react? If you're talking about the Gulf of Mexico, again, you're talking about fairly warm waters there, but in the Arctic, the water temperature is always at or near 0 degrees. Do we know anything about how oil reacts in that kind of temperature?
The truth is we don't know that much about it. We don't have any track record for dealing with oil spills in the Arctic. So there's a big question mark there, and that's a problem. Another lesson that we've learned, though, from the Deepwater Horizon oil spill is that when that blowout occurred underwater, the deep-sea plumes of oil were actually carried away by underwater currents, and they traveled far distances below the surface of the water. And if something like that were to occur in the Arctic, we're dealing with potentially miles or, a great distance around the actual site of the spill where the oil would disperse and it would be impossible to clean up. Another thing about dealing with a spill in icy waters is that if it indeed does spill in the Arctic Ocean and freezes over the winter because we can't get a crew up there for any kind of cleanup, then the oil would freeze into the ice and then melt in the spring, which is, would have negative impacts on marine life that may typically mate in that season.
Is it also possible that this oil may get under permanent ice and itself be trapped permanently under ice in the Arctic pretty much forever kind of thing?
Absolutely. When we're talking about the examples that we have with Deepwater Horizon and with the Exxon Valdez spill, very little of that oil was actually recovered. I think in both cases it was less than 5%. So if that's the benchmark that we're going by, it means that there's no doubt that if there's a spill, a lot of the oil, the majority of the oil, will stay there forever.
Now, the government response has said, for example, that the Canadian Coast Guard has trained oil spill managers across Canada. There are more than 80 equipment depots in total, including 22 in the Arctic, with oil spill recovery containment and storage capacity. Equipment can be cascaded from any depot across the country to respond to an incident. What's your take on that?
None of this equipment is tested in the field. The closest example I can think of right now is that Shell has been trying for a number of years to drill in the Arctic. Their oil spill containment device, when tested, was crushed like a beer can, is what the reports were saying. So we're finding out that the companies that are trying to drill in the Arctic are running into problem after problem. And another thing that we're hearing out of the U.S. is the Obama administration ran their own study and says that there's a 75% chance of a spill if Shell does go ahead with drilling in the Arctic. So the chance of an oil spill is incredibly high, and we don't have any track record to show that we're equipped to clean it up.
Ms. Khan, what about the distances involved? I mean, even if there are 22 of these depots with Arctic spill equipment across the north, you're talking about an area of literally many thousands of kilometers.
That's right. It's you're potentially dealing with inclement weather in the Arctic. It's unpredictable. Sometimes it's not possible to get on site for a number of days. And if it's at the end of the drilling season and we're dealing with winter months, which means a lot of darkness and some days perpetual darkness, we might not be able to get on site for over a year.
What is Canada's position at this point on Arctic drilling in Canadian waters?
Well, the Harper government is fully in support of drilling in the Arctic environment. I think it's been one of his legacy issues to talk about development of the North and specifically bringing in heavy industry. It would be preferred from the perspective of providing sustainable development and long-term jobs for Northerners for our government to actually look at a more diverse menu of options when we're talking about the development of the North. So if oil is one option, what else is there? What else can we do to create jobs and to create energy?
But at this point, there is no drilling planned, or as far as I understand it, there is no even exploration going on at this point, is there?
That's right, but there is. Many oil companies do own leases to explore for oil in Canadian waters, including Shell, including Imperial Oil, which is partnered with BP and ExxonMobil, actually. We heard just a few weeks ago that that Imperial has canceled their plans indefinitely and is seeking an extension to the leases that they have to do exploratory drilling in the Canadian Arctic, which is a bit of a victory because there's a delay involved, but we're keeping a close eye to see what Imperial is going to be planning for the future.
But then, of course, there's the international issue of if the Americans drill in their waters in the Arctic, the whole issue that you brought up before about any spill traveling itself vast distances in the sea and possibly under the ice and everything else, right?
You're absolutely right. An oil spill doesn't stop at the border. So if drilling were to occur on the U.S. side, it's very possible that a spill would impact Canadian waters and Canadian coastlines.
Or Russian or anywhere else, I suppose.
Yeah, potentially.
What about this whole idea of continuing to drill for oil in light of what we know about climate change and so on?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense from a climate change perspective. It doesn't even make sense from an economic perspective. Considering the amount of oil that people are predicting exists below the seabed in the Arctic, even if we were to tap it for every drop of oil that we think exists, it would only supply the world with about 3 years of oil. So it doesn't really make sense when you're weighing all of the risk against a three-year supply of oil. From a climate change perspective, scientists are saying that we need to keep 75% of existing fossil fuels in the ground if we are serious about tackling climate change and preventing the catastrophic impacts of climate change. And that's all the more reason why Arctic drilling should not be on the table and we should be looking to renewable sources of energy.
Farah Khan, thank you very much for this.
Yes, thank you for having me.